having a business is one thing, but you also have to have a healthy inside, a healthy support, so that you're confident to actually skyrocket or to actually, you know, embrace success.
Welcome to Inspiration Rising. My name is David Trotter, and I'm a business growth consultant. I'm passionate about helping business owners just like you rise above your biggest barriers to reach your greatest goals, all without the paralyzing overwhelm, feeling all alone, or wondering what the heck to do next. I'm a former pastor and a serial entrepreneur who's passionate about personal growth because that's what's helped me cultivate peace in my life and empowered me to love my amazing wife, Laura, of 26 years, and our two almost grown kids. So if you're all about business, personal growth, and peace in your life, you're in the right place. I'm super glad that you're here. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Inspiration Rising. As you know, I'm all about supporting and lifting up women who are starting and growing their own businesses. And I feel like recently I met my long-lost sister in the Philippines. Her name is Maine Uy, and she's the founder of the CEO Society. See what she did there? CEO. Come on now, that's good. Now, the CEO Society is a support system, community, and a platform where ideas are exchanged and empowerment is promoted among female entrepreneurs in Southeast Asia. Now, in this episode, you are going to be super inspired by Maine's story of resilience and how she's making a big difference in the lives of women in the Philippines. Now, by the way, she's also a brand ambassador for Rise Up Creatives, our new resource helping business owners create beautiful, engaging social media in just 5 minutes a day. And I'm super excited. Can I say super excited even more? I love that term, super excited. I'm super excited to have her on board. Hey, if you are not aware of Rise Up Creatives, you can check it out at riseupcreatives.com. Now, before we jump into this interview, I want to ask you to help us keep growing this show. With over 180 episodes of inspiring interviews with female business owners and leaders, I truly believe that Inspiration Rising is a tremendous source of not only inspiration, but training. And we want more people to experience it. So will you take a moment to text a friend and tell them to listen to Inspiration Rising on their favorite podcast app? All they have to do is open up their favorite podcast app, type in the search box, Inspiration Rising will pop up. Click subscribe and start listening to incredible interviews with amazing female entrepreneurs and business leaders. Or if you don't want to text somebody, just take a screenshot of this episode right now on your phone and then post it on social media and be sure to tag at Inspo Rising and we'll be sure to reshare it. All right, let's jump into my conversation with Maine Uy. Well, Maine, thanks so much for taking some time to join me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, David, for giving us this platform to share everything about the CEO Society and what we can do for women entrepreneurs out there.
Absolutely. So let's start by talking about your motivation to start the CEO Society. I have to get used to saying that. I have to almost have to slow myself down and be like, CEO.
It's like CEO, but it's more like CEO.
I get it. I get it. I love it. I love the name. That's awesome. So tell me, what motivated you to start the organization?
So I'll tell you a little backtrack a little bit. So I started young. I started my company when I was 18 or around that time. I think going 18, it was me juggling both my university works and a little bit of freelancing. So just a little background to everyone listening. I'm also Chinese. So if you have an Asian upbringing, your dad or your mom, we call them the tiger dads and tiger mom, would instill that mindset in you that, hey, you have to make your own business. So when I was young, I already know that I'm going to be on entrepreneurship path. I really started young. And while in my university, I started this graphic design. It was just the time that social media is picking up. So during breaks, I would cross the road. There's this coffee shop there. And then I would do all my projects there along with my homeworks. And then of course, for clients. When I graduated, that's the time that I immediately jump on the entrepreneurship you can get that entrepreneurship. And I was really excited. So I had the big hopes and dreams for this. I'm like, okay, let's go big. And I have something new. It's an innovation. And all my fresh ideas would help all these businesses out there with so-so branding and doesn't even have a social media presence. So I made all the mistakes when I was young. I was really naive. I think I rushed into it a bit, and then I made all the mistakes. And one of the biggest challenges that I faced that time was management, team management. I was young. I thought it was like managing a group project. So I didn't know the difference. So I was just acting on what I know. Of course, in the middle of that it's hard to find clients because you're young. A lot of people will doubt you. Like, what do you have? What do you have that others don't? So, you know, everything got lost in translation, and I failed to charge my real value. You know, the value that I'm asking for. I think, if I'm not mistaken, here in the Philippines, it's just 15,000 pesos for a monthly retainer. So it's roughly around $300 per month for a full social media campaign. So it wasn't enough, because that $300, that's the only time that, that's the amount that I pay one designer. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot. I have a lot. So I got burnt out because I haven't been paying myself as well. Because, you know, entrepreneur, you know, I can just bootstrap and then give everything for the business. So I got burnt out. I don't know what am I doing. I think my goal that time was to just get more cash, get more cash flows in. And that was my focus, that I forgot what I'm really good at, what I'm passionate about. And that is conceptualizing, strategizing, coming up with beautiful ideas and campaigns and making art, you know, like immersing myself to culture and then applying it to my communication plans. That got lost. That was, I think it went on for about like three years of me just, you know what, come on and just cry here. Oh my, why are the clients not paying me? And then sometime in, I think, late 2018, I said, okay, fine, I'll just go back to what I love, which is art, fashion, and everything about design. So I went back to school. There's this school here in the Philippines. It's called SOFA Design Institute. So I went back there, and I took fashion product development, because product development for fashion is really would test all your limits. So I feel like I'm very, very influenced by fashion and how I create all my brands, even though they're not fashion. For me, that's the benchmark. So I took them, and even including the interior design. So with the interior design, that's when the Shio Society was born. Because we had the midterms exam, we're tasked to create the scale model. Okay, this is the plain room. And then the challenge was, the big idea was, how will you create a place of respite? Like a place that you're you. A place that you find comfort and peace. Remember that before, I was an entrepreneur, young. I had no support system. I got lost. So what I created is a tea room, like a salon, like a, I don't know what you call it. It's like, you know, where Marie Antoinette and her court ladies would just drink tea or like just wear all their beautiful laces. That was my key visual that time. So I said, okay, let's recreate this. And I wanted to have a space for my fellow women entrepreneurs where we'll just talk freely about everything we're passionate about. I was looking, I felt the need that I need to have that space because I don't have that space. It was really hard for me because I can't be vulnerable. I'm an entrepreneur. I have to have that facade, you know, that tiger mom facade, that tiger Asian entrepreneur facade. So I couldn't lower my hair down. And I said, I need a space that I can just be vulnerable. Like if I fail at something, you know, they would welcome me with open arms. If I needed support, they would be there. So I created the first, you know, the scale model of the Shio Society. So that was the first time that I created. And I said, okay, now that this is a vision, how can we move forward? But to tell you that, I was also balancing a lot of my social media clients, the remaining ones. But I already don't like it anymore. And it continued on until September 2019. That was my birthday. And I cried so much that time. I turned 25 because all of the past pains when I was younger, all the frustrations, everything just caught up. And then I realized I don't have inner peace. And that inner peace is something that I need for me to attain the success that I want. Because that has been holding me back. Because every time that I will take off, you know, I would doubt myself, like, oh, you'll have haters again. You'll have all these people to hate on you. That really weighed me down. And I cried. I cried. And I don't know, I just don't want to do what I want doing anymore. I don't like the clients that I'm handling that time. I still have a team, maybe one or two, and I don't know how will I pay them. I can't anymore. I was at that. I'm done. Yeah. And then luckily, like during October, we went to London. So again, I escaped facing the music again. I said, okay, maybe I just need a break. And then, you know, my partner and I went to London together with his family. So we were there and I'm like immersed by it. So there's a lot of brands that I want to handle. Oh, this is how we should apply it to the brands at home. And then I came home. What we thought that I would come home inspired, I came home more broken. It's more like I'm so empty anymore. I'm so empty inside. I don't have anything. I just can't. It was a burnt out. And then one of my friends from Zomato Philippines, it's a food app, you know, where you book a table for a restaurant, because I also have a restaurant, talked to me like, hey, man, do you want to go back to your alma mater, the university, and give a talk to fresh graduates about how to succeed in life? David, that time, I'm already feeling like, I'm a failure. Why would I talk about how to be successful in life? Sure. I was already doubting myself. I was like spiraling down. And then I think a few days before, I wanted to cancel. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't think I'm credible because I have zero money in my bank account. I failed my business. I don't know what's going to happen to me in the following months of like coming into 2020. So that was 2019. But then again, I still showed up. I showed up. I wore my really nice white suit together with my heels, you know, kind of like have that facade that, oh yes, I'm successful. But deep inside, I'm already crumbling down. So I gave a talk to I think they were like 18 to 20 years old.
Okay.
And it reminded me so much of who I was before. And looking at them, they have hopes. They have that twinkle in their eyes. And I saw myself in the audience. And I like, okay, I think I need to tell them what they need to expect. Then afterwards, it was really successful. Like, we were well received. And they were like, I hope we'll be like you when I hit your age. And, you know, just I allowed it. I simmered into all of that. And then I went to my, it's close by because there's this, like this favorite bar that I like in Conrad. So it's like a celebratory drinks. So I got my favorite mezcal drink. So together with my partner, we drank and I said, you know what? I want the feeling like this. Why can't I just monetize what my knowledge are? Why can't I just share what I know to women entrepreneurs? Like, you know, if they can't find the value of how, like, I do my social media, then why not just share my knowledge? Because for me, it's a waste if I don't. And that's where it was born. So then and there, I thought of the first Tell All Masterclass. So the first Tell All Masterclass happened last January 2020. I sold out on all the seats and it was really fast. Like, it was well received and it was the caliber of the woman entrepreneurs that I'm looking for. It was the perfect fit. It's like me looking at different versions of me. I felt home, and all the vision that I created from the scale model,
sure,
down to how I created the Tell All Masterclass. It was all aligned and everything followed after that. That's when I, you know what, I'll drop everything, change all the name, you know, file for bankruptcy, close everything, and just focus on the Shio Society. So now, fast forward after a year, oh, we have about around 80 plus members, you know, a lot of brand collabs and a lot of product launches, brand launches here and there. And a lot of them, they've grown their brand because of what we have here in the CEO Society. I'm really proud that it came full circle.
That is amazing.
Came full circle, yeah.
Wow, thank you for sharing that story. That is incredible. And so when you held this first tell-all masterclass, what was the topic? Where was it held? How many people were there? Take us to that moment.
So the first tell-all masterclass, it was last January 2020. So it's an exclusive event. So I still want that exclusivity. You know, I think it's rather very enticing. So it was around 10 people. I think I stretched it to up to like 15. But the first tell-all, the actual event, it was from 10 a.m. to around 4 p.m. It was really long. So it was all about branding, everything that I know, my strengths, branding, you know, designing products, you know, the retail mix, the product price, place, promotion, just nailing it down and then starting it all up. So what I thought would be a 3-hour workshop or 3-hour masterclass, it stretched out until the afternoon because everybody had something to say. Mm. Everybody was conversing like, hey, I was there in your shoes that time. This is how I did it. Everyone's just comfortable pitching with each other. So I'm just there. I'm facilitating things. And it was really it was a success because, you know, like everyone was comfortable. I didn't expect it because at first, right, David, when you're in like a new group of people, you're like, oh, who is this person? Like, why would I be vulnerable to her? I think there we embrace vulnerabilities. And that was like the most proud moment that I have because I'm a genuine person. I'm even a vulnerable person, David. A lot of people are saying, even my family are saying, like, we call it rupok. It's like brittle. They call me a brittle because, like, you know, I'm faced with change, I would cry, but after that I would stand up. But I cry. I cry. So to have that feeling that, you know, embracing vulnerabilities during the first tell-all masterclass really empowered me. So after that, you know, after the tell-all, we caught up with each other and a lot of them, you know, it was something that started them, that kickstart their brands.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, 10 people during the actual tell-all, and others are like one-on-ones already, but I'm happy that the success rate, I think 60 to 70% launched their brand after the tell-all.
Wow. Yeah. So these were people that were just getting started.
Yes.
Okay.
Getting started. Yeah.
Yeah. Now the 80 members that you have, how did you enroll those members and what do you offer them in terms of support?
So, you know, it's for women with the intent to start. So I'm just really focusing on the start aspect because what we're giving, we are standing on 4 pillars. That is for the foundation, the platform, and the community for support. So the foundation, these are the programs. So you can get the club membership through the program. So last year, I had a lot of programs. So if you listen to my podcast, I just uploaded it a while ago, yesterday. I said 2020 was a lot of programs and I got confused. So now I streamlined it. I redesigned the tell-all. So it's now the tell-all program. So it's not just about branding, but it's also about how to market them, how to price them, how to design your product, design a collection, how to pitch them, and down to starting it all up. So it's really a tell-all. It says it's an 8-week course and that includes the club memberships. Then goes the platform. So what's so nice about the society is what we have monthly events. So it's a members only event. And then I would usually invite the CEOs to be the speakers. So I would pick a topic for them. I usually think of a theme, monthly theme. Mm-hmm. And then I would think of like a topic for a webinar or workshop. Then if I see it's a fit for them, I would invite them so that they can showcase their brand. If not, they can just talk about what they're passionate about. And it's been a success so far because after that, I think they're getting a lot of follows, a lot of like they're nurturing that genuine relationship, CEO to CEO. And then there's the community and support. So we also have a Telegram group. So it's more casual there. So it's not always about, you know, all lady boss stuff. So it's more of like, you know, oh, hey, I love this boy band. Like, I'm crushing on this boy. So we're talking about like all things feminine. So this is the way that we give them the platform, like the support that mm-hmm. they need. Because it's, I feel like, having a business is one thing, but you also have to have a healthy inside, a healthy support, so that you're comfortable and you're confident, not comfortable, you're confident to actually skyrocket or to actually, you know, embrace success. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there is a cost, an investment of being a member. And yeah. So they can either just join as a member or they can join the 8-week program, the tell-all program. Mm-hmm. And then they become a member by joining that.
Yes.
Okay. And so then there are these monthly events. Now, you started this in January 2020. And then yeah. I assume, you know, the Philippines was impacted by COVID, like what, probably March, February or March?
Yeah.
And so no more in-person events. Has everything been pretty much online for you the last year?
Everything's online since March last year. Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. I had my first in-person event, which was the first catch-up event. It was a follow-up event from the tell-all. So we call that the coffee and conversation. So that's our monthly catch-up. So we were fortunate to host one in person.
One in person, yeah.
Yes.
And this is Manila. Yes.
So far, we're now in Manila, of course. This is where we are. But since the pandemic happened, we've been embracing the global mindset because everyone's online. You know, I feel like one of the many things that brought us together, this pandemic, it brought us together. And it actually blurred the line of, like physical borders. Now we can invite everyone all over the globe if they want to join. They're very, very open to join us in these conversations.
That's awesome. So what are some of the biggest challenges that female entrepreneurs, especially those that are starting up, specifically in the Philippines or Southeast Asia, what are maybe some of the unique challenges that female entrepreneurs face in that region? And maybe they're not unique. I don't know. I'm kind of asking the question out of ignorance to say, are there unique challenges?
Well, I'm speaking on my own challenges as a Filipino entrepreneur. I remember joining this Vogue fashion conversation. I think it was around April or May. And then the guy that was talking is the creative director of Moncler. So he mentioned about think local, go global. So that was supposed to be the mindset because what you want is to showcase the local aspect to the global stage. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the first time that I heard this line. So remember, I took courses on fashion and design, right? And then this professor of mine, his name is Mon Galicia. I took his retail merchandising class. And then I was designing my brand. It was a fashion brand. And I was telling him, oh, here, I'm going to target just Metro Manila. So when I heard the Think Local, Go Global, I think this is one of the many challenges. Like we don't talk about it. But here in the Philippines, I notice also with my CEOs, they would often limit themselves to just one place. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm from Metro Manila and this is the only place that I can cater. And I would push them further. Like, why don't you like offer it nationwide or, you know, offer worldwide shipping? So it was something also that held me back. Because at first when I created the CEO Society, I said, oh, the Philippines need the support system. But then a lot of people from all over the globe are actually tuning in. And that's why we met, David. You're from LA and I'm from Manila. And I think that was one of the challenges we have because we always think so, like, we're just limiting ourselves to the local aspect when mm-hmm. the world is our stage and online, Instagram, you use the right hashtag, tune into the right frequency, join the proper groups, you have the world for you. It will be, the doors will open for you. And I think that's one of the challenges, which leads me to the second challenge, pricing. I'm going through the same thing. So how I think of a local aspect, it was a struggle for me to put the real value of what I can offer. Mm-hmm. So I always think about the scarcity, you know. Thinking local, it's okay, but it's more of coming from the scarcity space. Like, I don't think I can. I'm just from the Philippines. I don't think the world will embrace me. It leads to that. And I was going through that and I said, okay, why am I, you know, some people are asking, like even the CEOs from around the globe, they're asking, man, I think you're pricing it, you know, pricing it cheap there. And I'm like, what do you mean cheap? I mean, there's a disconnect. You're evoking such a premium feeling. You're inspired by fashion and all of these beautiful brands. Mm. But there has been a disconnect. And it got me into thinking, oh, I think this is also something that everyone in the mm-hmm. Philippines, especially entrepreneurs here, they're forgetting that there's more. There's more beyond the Philippines. We can cater to more market, and we just have to be open about it and just embrace the real value of and be comfortable with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about your, and once again, this is a question out of ignorance, so I'm just mm-hmm. curious. yeah. But is there an expectation for you as a Filipino female to be more in like interested in finding a husband and creating a family versus starting a business or growing your career, or am I just making that up?
Okay. I'm going to be vulnerable a bit, David, if that's okay. So, I'm 26 years old and my mom had me when she was 21. So when I turned 21, my mom's a tiger mom, but like I owe it all to her as well. So she was expecting me to like find a husband. But then I'm already in a 7-year relationship. You know, my partner has been great. We've grown together and he also has his business. He's also an entrepreneur. But then, you know, you see we're high performing people. So the idea of marriage this early, it's not there yet, at least for me. At least mm-hmm. for me, I don't see myself settling down until like I think when I'm 30. But then again, the people around me are saying, "Hey, man, you have a body clock. You have a body clock." I'm like, there are options. That's why we're hustling, because there are a lot of options already. You can freeze. You can do the embryo freezing and all of that. There's a lot of options, and they're telling me, do you have the funds? I will have the funds. Actually, that pushed me. That's actually motivating me. But if in terms of your question, if there's some sort of the urgency or like a pressure from those around us, yes, there is. But I feel like it's up to us if we're gonna submit to that, because the best way is to just respond and just tell them, come from honesty, that right now my focus is my career. I'm trying to build an empire. And when it's the perfect time, then why not? The options are there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your parents say what back to you about that?
My dad is more, he's more chill about it. Yeah. Because I'm the eldest daughter, so he loves me dearly, I'm sure. My mom, on the other hand, of course, you know, she has her own practice. She went through a lot as well. So I think she wants me already to go through that. But I'm like, no.
She wants those grandkids.
I got her a dog, though.
A grand dog. There you go. So what is your ultimate dream for the CEO Society? Like, what do you envision, say, 5 years from now? It's only been a year or so. So like 5 years from now, what would you dream of experiencing with the CEO Society?
So David, I'm a traveler myself. So if there was no pandemic, I've been traveling 4 to 5 times in a year. For me, because it's a cultural immersion. Like I always come home very inspired and like filled with ideas. So just to give you also a backstory to it. When I created the space, the you know, the space for my class, my midterms. One of the many inspiration that I have is this this place called Looksee Looksee. It's in Singapore. You can look it up. It's by Lo Behold Group, and it's one of the most successful food group in Singapore. So they're the ones behind Odette. It's a number one restaurant. I'm into that though. I'm into the fine dining scene. I'm into the haute cuisine. So they're the ones behind Odette. That's the number one restaurant here in Asia. And when I went there in Looksee Looksee, I said, this is how I want CEO to be. So I want like a reading room. I want a place for them to drink tea or cocktail or whatever. So definitely it's something that that got embedded in me that I need to have a space. I need to have a space, actual space in 5 years. It can be a co-working or what, but I just want a space. And then in 5 years also, I'm also inspired by Shark Tank. Hopefully by that time I could incubate brands and really help them from ground up. So that's where I'm seeing my path, like be able to invest in what I know would be the next big thing, created by female-led woman entrepreneurs or CEOs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that's amazing about Instagram is that if somebody's been on it for quite a while, you can scroll way back. And I don't know how old you were when you started on Instagram, but you looked pretty young. And I was thinking, man, I'm looking at a young, perhaps teenage Maine, and I'm wondering what would the Maine today say to the Maine who was 18 or 19 years old? What would you say to her?
I thought about this a lot, David. Well, I have a few things to say. I think I have three things to say to her. The first one is to be forgiving. That's the first one, because I remember when I was 18, I have so much anger in me. It's like coming from grit. Like, I wanted to prove everyone wrong. I wanted to prove them all wrong. I wanted to, you know, somehow like, you know, I'll be successful and you'll be down there. That was my space. And while it really did help me, you know, it motivated me, but it was coming from such a negative space. So that was the first thing I would tell her, like, hey, man, young man, be forgiving. You know, if someone hurt you, just forgive them, but never forget. Just forgive them and just move on. The second one is to savor every little moment. Because I remember, of course, coming from grit again, I remember rushing into things. When I was 18. So I graduated high school. I rushed into it. I didn't want my high school people to be around me. It was coming from negative space. And I thought I'll be over that. But I carried that over to my college life. It was more of like, I want to graduate already so I can start the business. So I didn't stop to smell the roses. And there are a lot. There's the journey. The most beautiful thing about the journey, right, is the stopovers. I didn't do any stopovers. So don't rush into it. You know, savor every moment. And the last one that I would tell her is to, to believe in yourself. I think I did believe in myself when I was young, but it's more like there are still doubts. There are a lot of doubts when I was young. I believe because it's also brought about the anger in me, that grit, that trying to prove everyone wrong. So I constantly doubted myself, thinking that, oh, if I fail, and then it will be over. So just believe in yourself. And I have one more thing. Make more mistakes. Yeah, I'm a go-getter girl. I've always been at the top of my class. There was no room for errors. And when I got older, when I turned 25, 26, I realized that the mistakes that we make, that's the greatest teacher, because it's black and white, right? Like, oh, you made a mistake, then don't do this again. Like, you know, I was so scared to make mistakes. And that's why I feel like that limited me, because I didn't want to make mistakes. I turned into this little perfectionist CEO. And yeah, that's the four things that I mentioned.
Good. So powerful. Yeah, very powerful. One of the things that I'm super excited about, that not only are we meeting here on the podcast, but
we're starting to work together with you being a brand ambassador for Rise Up Creatives and doing some workshops together. As you think about the potential for Rise Up Creatives to help business owners in the Philippines, like how do you think that that resource might be able to help up-and-coming CEOs?
Well, let's face it, David, content creation, that's one of the most challenging things, constantly coming up with ideas to share. But I feel that this Rise Up Creatives, the platform that you showed me, it would really give them all the things that they need. It's like a checklist. It's all prepared for them. All they have to do is to add their brand story, add whatever it is that makes their brand unique. And it would really help them because, you know, it would save them time. You know, time, it's already there. If you have a podcast, it's what you have to do. It's all there. And of course, you also have the captions, right? Like some of us, it's a challenge. You know, some people says it's so daunting, man. Like my other brand sounds exactly like this other brand. And you having the caption service there, that aspect there on your platform would be really, really helpful. Because at least it's all in one. It's like a content team, but the only difference is that you're the one there and everything that you need is already presented for you. Yeah.
Super fun. It's going to be super fun to see how entrepreneurs in the Philippines and Southeast Asia utilize the platform. I'm really excited to see how that happens. Talk to us about how people can learn more about your society, how they can get involved, how they can get a taste of what you offer, where should they go, what should they check out?
So definitely can follow us on Instagram because we're really, really loud on Instagram. That's where we center all our contents via the Instagram. It's at the CEO Society. But if you want to learn more about our offers, everything that we do, you can definitely visit the CEO SOC.com. So that's where you'll find the Tell All program and the club memberships. So the club memberships, it's by invite right now, so you have to sign up, and then if we see that you're a right fit, we can send you all the details in the future. And I'm launching this. It's like a mini business consultations. It's called Unearthing Session. So right now we're slowly teasing everyone, but it would be best if you subscribe to our digest, our email subscription list. So we'll send you everything that is new, all the promotions or what's coming in the club so that you'll be updated. Yes.
Awesome. All right. So you can get the links to the website and Instagram and so forth in our show notes. So you can swipe up on your phone now and click the link or go to our website, insporising.com, and you can find all the show notes there as well. So Maine, you are an inspiration. I love your smile, your energy, your passion, and I'm excited to keep seeing where you're going to go and how we can work together.
Yes, David, thank you so much for having me here in the Inspo Rising, and it's been an amazing thing to be able to share my story to everyone watching and listening.
Hey, congrats on listening to another episode of Inspiration Rising. Why congrats? Because you're pouring education and inspiration into your mind and heart. And that's something we all need if we're going to grow our businesses and reach our goals in life. Now, if you enjoy Inspiration Rising, do us a favor, share it with a friend. Take a screenshot of your favorite episode and text it to them. Tell them to search for Inspiration Rising on their favorite podcast app and click subscribe. And if you haven't already, be sure to sign up for Inspo Text. That's our daily inspirational text messages. Just text me right now at 949-401-6090. That's 949-401-6090. Just say, hey, Dave, what's up? You'll get an automated reply with a link where you can add yourself as a contact. And of course, you can always unsubscribe. I want you to know today that you're inspired, empowered, and loved. Not because of the way you feel or what anyone else says about you, but because that's your true identity.